Sanooj Sharif joins us in studio now from the ARN News Centre. Sanooj, first story that you're looking at today in detail is a deal set on an Asian-led infrastructure bank, kind of a rival to the World Bank.
That's how it's being billed as, and this project is spearheaded by China. It's a $100 billion Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. And over the weekend, more than 20 Asian countries signed an agreement in Beijing to get this plan moving forward. And in fact, this proposal for this bank was last year given by Chinese President Xi Jinping, mainly to offer financing for infrastructure projects in underdeveloped Asian countries. And the plan is that it will be headquartered in Beijing. The bank will initially be capitalized with $50 billion, most of it contributed by China. Gradually, that amount could go up to $100 billion. And if that happens, this facility would be two-thirds the size of the $175 billion Asian Development Bank.
So you say 20 countries have already signed up. You'd think that this is in the interest of a lot of Asian countries. Who is actually open to this? Who can sign up? Is it all the way from here in the Middle East, all the way to China, Japan, or how many countries? Where are these countries?
Well, the facility is largely open to the Asian region and Australia as well. But, you know, big names like South Korea, Indonesia, they're not involved so far. And that's apparently due to pressure from the United States. And another Asian giant, Japan, is not on board, which was not expected, because when there's something that is initiated by China, usually there tends to be sort of a competition between Japan and China. So Japan hasn't signed up. So then who are these 21 nations? They include the likes of Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, Nepal, the Philippines, Thailand. From the Middle East, we've got Qatar, Kuwait, Oman, etc. And so far, only an agreement has been signed, but the bank is expected to formally be established only towards the end of 2015. And like Tim asked earlier, is it seen as an alternative to the likes of the World Bank? You know, China says that it doesn't want to compete with the World Bank or the Asian Development Bank. It rather wants to complement the activities of those two institutions. But the U.S. is not convinced. The U.S. thinks that it's another sign of China trying to dominate financial affairs, starting off maybe with the Asian region.
It's an interesting one, this, Sanooj, because quite naturally, from a media perspective, if you have something that stacks up on a similar level to the World Bank, it's clearly a competing institution,
yeah,
isn't it? What's triggered the need, though? Because you have the World Bank there. You can access the World Bank relatively easily, pretty much wherever you are in the world, in theory.
Yep.
Not always in practice, but in theory. But what triggered the need?
Well, China's argument is that, you know, for so many years it's been fruitlessly trying to lobby for more involvement in these multinational lending organizations like the World Bank and Asian Development Bank. And they see that it's largely, you know, in sync with the requirements and instructions from Western nations led by the U.S. That's what China's allegation is. And, you know, China already has a lot of, infrastructure financing interests in developing nations in Asia. So many analysts say this is another sensible step forward personally for China to extend its dominance in that arena.
Makes a great deal of sense to me. Second story, this is an interesting one, I think. Bhutan, which you talk about fairly regularly on this program, and it's a country that doesn't get covered enough, but it is kind of being covered now, as Google offering a peek into Bhutan, launching Street View.
Yes, and the project for this remote Himalayan kingdom is interesting because Bhutan has long been one of the most isolated countries in the world. And it's only now that it's gradually opening up, embracing modern technology and the internet in particular. It has a largely rural population of 750,000 people, but its two cell phone networks have more than 550,000 subscribers, which is a good penetration rate. And now it has become the 63rd country that's available on Street View.
So what can we see now? Is it the whole country? Is it just a certain particular road that we can see? How much of it?
This year-long project, in fact, kicked off in March 2013, and there was the Street View car traveling across the country's 3,000-kilometer road network. It was mounted with a custom-built camera, 15 lenses, recording more than a million photos. And now it apparently offers panoramic views of the country's majestic mountains, monasteries, rivers, and everything else in between. But having said that, you know, Bhutan doesn't still consider itself as a country that's open to tourists. You know, as of 2012, there was a minimum spend of $200 a day that foreign tourists had to, you know, make in Bhutan if they're visiting the country. So it's still seen as, it's trying to maintain that delicate balance between seclusion and openness. Now, you know, the Street View project, it said that in a way it'll help boost tourism, but will it help Bhutan keep that element of not being open to mass tourists intact? That remains to be seen.
What did the government say about this, Sanuj? How supportive was the government?
Well, according to Google, you know, most governments, they are supportive of the Street View project because it promotes tourism and they are drawn to its commercial benefits. That's what the company says. But in Bhutan, the conversation is apparently different. It was along the lines of how can the company bring Bhutan to the world without having loads of tourists at a door. So that's a, you know, sort of a challenging thing to tackle. So this is what the, you know, remains to be seen. On one hand, you have a project that opens up the entire country or large portion of the country to the world. And again, the government says that it wants the world to have a peak of what Bhutan is and enjoy and take in its sights and sounds. But at the same time, it's not willing to attract those mass tourists. So how to maintain that balance remains to be seen.